Thank you, Greg. After listening to all these presentations today, as I had mentioned earlier, let me give you fair warning. I don't have a lot of numbers. I don't have a lot of charts. I'm basically presenting in the application of all this type of research, what do we see in the field and how do we manage to it, especially as we look at restoration of urban sites and urban soil management, because this is becoming more and more a critical issue that we have to address each and every coming year. And we've been able to find that a lot of our observations in the field can really apply well. And now with what we're finding through this research, for example, of what we're hearing today, if we could marry the research that we're finding with our application in the field, we're going to have tremendous success. And what I always present in many cases is our practical application in the field is a very, very uncontrolled environment. And so we have to look at a myriad of parameters that affect how soil nutrients, how soil water, how plant reaction occurs in that urban soil environment. And as I go into our projects, and oftentimes as I try to explain, because I'm with an engineering firm, to our clients, we have to look at this balance and ecosystem function, which we've all heard about, especially within, you know, ecological societies, the Soil Science Society, and the Crop Science Society, where we have soil, water, and plants. And if we do not meet that balance, the whole system, whether it be urban or rural, falls out. But if we can achieve that balance, then we start affecting water conservation, energy management. And when I talk about energy management, it's not just a matter of cooling or heating of the air, but it's also about nutrient applications, pesticide applications, and the overall maintenance of our landscapes. And then also that comes around to environmental quality, the environment within which we live. How much pollutant do we have emanating that affects our waters, our airs, the nitrous oxide that was explained earlier. So we have really a combination of ecosystem function that really affects the balance of our environment. I'm not going to say anything that you don't know here. Urban soils are anthropogenically altered soils. Contamination, compaction, soil sealing. Basically, again, we have a very uncontrolled environment that we have to manage. And as we go into sites, we have to look at how do we address all these uncontrolled factors so that we could balance, whether it be nutrient management or water, and ultimately maximize our vegetative growth and environmental quality. Again, I'm taking quotes from many people who have addressed urban soils. Not uncommon, especially as we move that urban environment out into the perimeter, the suburban environment area, that these soils have been moved, they've been graded, they've been redistributed, they've been compacted. Again, I work in an engineering firm, and when I talk to our geotechnical engineers, they hate organic matter, they love soils compacted to 100%. So in essence, we're not really creating a very plant-friendly environment, and we're also creating a very pollutant-receptive type of environment because of the limitations we're putting on natural processes. And again, the movement of soil within our urban areas is immense. But not only movement, but we're bringing in new soils. This picture is a project I actually did in Dallas, in which we brought in 70,000 cubic yards of new soil. And that in of itself is a gross imbalance that we have to affect. How are we going to manage that? How do we combine 70,000 yards of imported soil into the environment that was there previously? So, again, I'm not preaching anything that nobody here doesn't already know, but in essence, in our urban environment, the grand assumption is we have a loss of soil function. Again, I repeat, that's the grand assumption. It's not always the entire assumption. Many cases, especially again in our suburban environment, more so than even the down core urban environment, our soils tend to be sterile because if you know very many contractors or developers, they love to mine that topsoil and resell it. It's a great source of income. But also we're seeing contaminated soils in varying amounts, and I'll mention that in a minute. And are grossly misunderstood. We don't know oftentimes what type of soils we're getting. Very much unknown conditions. We have to characterize. We have to look at what do we have on hand before we can figure out how to manage it. But this perspective is changing. All of a sudden, people are realizing that missing link in trying to get urban environmental balance into sync is that soils have long time been ignored, and maybe that's the key, that we have to address soil so we can address nutrients, so we can address pollution, so we can address energy management. Not all urban soils are bad, and now this looks like a rather catastrophic event, but this also goes back to that site in Dallas that I was talking about. I'm working for a landscape architect firm that, when they took me out to this site, their original plan was they were going to import a lot of sand. Whereas I said we had to import 70,000 cubic yards of soil, their thought was sand, because they love working with sand. It grades easy, it moves easy, they know how to manage it. They almost fired me on the spot because I went out there, and this is clay. I mean, this is really stiff, tight clay. But the organic matter content had such beautiful structure, and we had such wonderful soil quality, that immediately I turned to them and I said, we have to keep this soil. And if you were to look at that profile there, and that's a deep cut, we had 6 feet of deep, rich, black soil, the old Texas Blackland Prairie, in near downtown Dallas. So not all urban soil hits that point of being bad quality that I'm talking about. So these are the things. This is why it's unknown. This is why we have to manage all these unknown characteristics so we can maximize our nutrient input, so we can maximize our information of inputs to maximize our outputs. This goes into a myriad of factors. We're all dealing with urban decay, and this is oftentimes the issue of what we're looking at as we look at restoration of the urban environment. But is it an opportunity also, as we look at urban decay and we tear down that core, that we can actually restore that soil ecosystem function? Can we restore the nutrients? Can we restore the biological life? Can we restore the water system's functions to get back that ecosystem function? And maybe, in many of these industrial areas, we don't have to look to the rural areas. We can restore these grasslands that brings balance back into that urban environment. Contamination is oftentimes looked at more like that cesspool on the lower left-hand corner than really more of what we would see in the upper right-hand corner. So this element of contamination, which is prevalent in most urban areas, is a matter of degree. We do see areas in which it is grossly contaminated. Those are areas that have to be remediated and removed. More often than not, we see areas that are mildly contaminated, and we can manage to those effects. But the management of that effect, again, comes into our inputs and how we can address those. And again, that comes back to how we do our nutrients, our water, our vegetation. We look at our physical conditions. What's under the concrete that we'll be ripping out? Sterilized, compacted soil. In many of our areas that were not sterilized or compacted, but even in our parklands, we're seeing that those compaction layers are even just anywhere from 4 to 8 inches below the ground. I was trying to look for a picture that I took just 2 months ago of a site I was doing in Omaha that the contractor had given up on trying to break the compaction. They were going to put their grass seed down on soil that I measured a density of about 1.85 grams per centimeter. I don't know the modern metrics, so you'll pardon me. Basically, grossly compacted soils that when I took a pry bar underneath it, I was lifting up plates that were probably the size of my chest and abdomen together, 6 inches thick. We had to stop that contractor, who would have been just fine leaving it as it is and not worried about how the vegetation would grow and the fact that fertilizer inputs would be immense. We made them rip it up. They did not like that. The upper right-hand corner, we have people who go into these urban environments and want to put in a drainage layer below a fine textured soil, basically taking a more natural soil profile and turning it upside down, not understanding that the hydrology is grossly disrupted. Nutrient holding capacity doesn't function that way, and the plants can't grow, so that in the drier summer months, the plants all die. As a result, more water, more fertilizer, more pesticides trying to balance the system, more energy going into the system. And in the urban environment, and I think we've seen this in the previous presentations, again, we want plant density. But if we have the nutrient imbalance, if we have salt-affected soils, it's very hard to achieve that. We want a biological condition, and we're finding more and more that this biological condition is critical to getting that plant density, to get that plant growth. Because not only does it affect how the nutrients are transformed and given to the plants, but we're finding that those biological conditions, that microbial speciation, will dictate what plants can grow and where. As an example, again, going back to Dallas, but now we're doing the same thing in St. Louis at the Arch, we found that if we could control our organic management and microbial population speciation, not only can we maximize the desired plant growth outcome, but we will suppress a lot of invasive species that would otherwise grow in these locations. So this is an area where I have a lot of questions now at these meetings. What are these species? How can we get these balances to move forward? And are these casual observations in the field truly valid that we could see through research at the universities? So how do we address these complexities? And how does this affect nutrient management? Well, let's start. We've got to understand the urban environment within which we're working and what we're trying to manage to. Do we have parkland? And is that parkland heavily used, or is it more passive? Do we have urban environments? And we just saw in the urban environments how much fertilizer is used and how that affects the environment. And then, of course, we have our industrial areas. Not only are those industrial areas oftentimes contaminated, and again, I reassert, very varied amounts of contamination, anywhere from negligible to intensely contaminated. Also, in the various types of contaminants, how they can be addressed. Can they be addressed in situ, or do we have to, as in the colloquial term of the industry, hog and haul it out of there, get it out and dig it up, and then replace with new soil? Then we come back to the whole soil microbial aspect. Then we come into the soil nutrient aspect. We have to rebalance our systems. This is what we're working with in our environment. What is the vegetation that is dominant? More often than not in restoration, we're restoring to grasslands. We want trees, but trees take a long time. So we're restoring to grasslands as that first post-industrial successional community. What are the nutrient requirements? I have seen too often in my practice, we have a tremendous void of nutrients in these soils. How do we restore those? And I'm going to come to that in a minute. And how will that soil affect nutrient availability? Compacted soils do not avail nutrients very well. If they're adsorbed into that compacted soil where the roots can't get to it and the water can't flow, those nutrients are not available. If they are very sandy soils, I say grossly sandy, that's the wrong term, but if they're very sandy soils, those nutrients leach away. So what is that balance that we're trying to achieve? And then, after we understand the current environment, what do we want to manage to? Do we have a really fine, manicured inner urban environment, in which case we've got exotic plants that we have to look at what nutrient species we want to give to it? Or in this case, and this is the outcome of that Dallas project I've been putting pictures of, do we want to maybe bring in more of those natural species that use less nutrients, that are better with water, and they make a very strong aesthetic function? For your information, this is the Bush Library. This is what Laura Bush loved and wanted, and it was tremendously successful. We want to characterize the extent. As we apply our science, you don't apply it blindly. We have to know if there are problems, how far and to what extent. That's a huge amount of work that takes to try to characterize that. Are there going to be regulatory issues, not just in if there is contamination, how we clean it up or how we manage it or what can be put there? How is the zoning going to be affected? What are the financial considerations? What is the effect of the surrounding environment? All too often, we try to build in thinking that it's an isolated microcosm that we're going to manage without taking into account the inputs that come in from the areas around our development, our growth, our restoration. And always, in the urban environment, no matter how pristine we want to make it, there is ongoing abuse. High traffic, and I'm not just talking about automobile and trucks, we're talking foot traffic. Receptors of myriads of pollutants coming in from the air, including asbestos, including arsenic, including barium, metals of all types, as well as the nitrous oxides. And we have tremendous stormwater imbalances, which was just exhibited easily, or shown very well in the last presentation. And then, okay, we characterize the site. We know what we want. Now let's develop a strategy. Can we reuse that soil as on site?
I go into every project, I want to use what's there, because that is what nature brought to that soil, to that site. That's indigenous, that's what is intended to be there, that's what's going to work best. So we assume that all the basic functions can be restored. Do we have to do mechanical preparations? Do we have to disc it? Do we have to rip it? Do we have to move it around? What kind of amendments can we and should we use? Organic amendments, and you'll see that in almost all the other sessions that we see it here during these meetings, organic amendments are gaining huge popularity. One of the things that I have taken to many cities is, with these organic amendments, we are starting to look at maybe boutique of organic amendments. Not just compost for compost's sake, but compost feedstocks that dictate a certain microbial population, that dictate nutrient concentrations and capabilities and release factors that will help our vegetation grow in the way that we want it to grow. And then if we do have mineral amendments, what are those mineral amendments? Do we have to do pH adjustments? Do we have to do nitrogen? And if we're doing nitrogen, as we oftentimes have to do, as I say, we oftentimes see nitrogen-depleted soils in the suburban environment when we rip it up, what amounts? Can we put these in the amounts that are not excess, but just good enough to get the vegetation going? And I think, as we saw presented today, meeting those nitrogen and phosphorus amounts in smaller amounts is producing much better results than the past old adage of just putting it on and putting it on. So what kind of structural supports? If we have slopes, more often than not, we've got to put structural supports in there. Artificial supports, and again, these are changing with time. And as always, unfortunately, in science, we know that one of the great five soil-forming factors and vegetation community components is time. Reality is most people don't like that. They want instant results. And this is a difficult challenge to get past because that's part of that whole social impact. Implementation. I don't know how many of you have ever worked for engineers, but you've got to write specs out the wazoo. I hate writing specs. A 5-page spec on how to apply fertilizer. Gets a little bit too much, but if you don't do it, it's not going to be done right. And contractors have to be watched. Can that existing soil be reused? No. Then we have to figure out how much we're going to remove. We have to figure out how much we're going to bring in. And not only that, but what is that new soil source? Does it meet the area that we're bringing it into? Is it going to be able to meet or achieve that pedologic function, that chemical balance, that hydrologic balance that we need? We need to condition that soil more often than not. Again, the organic inputs. And then after that, it's the same thing. I love explaining this to non-soils and crops people. We have to restore pedologic function. Pedologic function in restoring how the A horizon works, how the B horizon works, how the C horizon works, how nutrients flow into the system, how water infiltrates into the system and runs over the system. We have to look at the topographic features because we know that nutrients don't stay at the top of the slope. They oftentimes wind up at the bottom. And the soil at the top of the slope and the side of the slope is much different than that at the bottom. A lot of people think it's a uniform distribution, and we know that it's not. And again, picture on the right, I explained that a minute ago. Soil biology, always in the urban environment, has almost always been ignored. It is becoming more and more commonplace. Again, with the work we have done in Omaha, they have made it now policy in Omaha. A developer cannot leave a site, will not get site closure until they have restored the organic content of the soil that they are working on. It's critical. Soil biological function is fast. Again, going back to the Bush Library, we found if we got that soil biology right and that nutrient balance right, we had native plants coming in from seed within 2 months, whereas people used to say it would take 2 years, and root depths going down to 12 inches within 2 months. It was unheard of. Can we repeat that? And this is another question I present to especially the academic community and researchers. Can we start demonstrating that so we can apply that not only to the urban restoration but everywhere else? Microflora speciation is something that's really popping out for us. And again, for those who are here with turf grass knowledge, I've got a million questions. Compost, as I indicated, compost is our organic matter. I gave a presentation a week ago to the International Erosion Control Association. What we take out of the soil, biologically, let's restore back to the soil, because what we bring in our compost oftentimes has that nutrient balance, that whether it be nitrogen, phosphorus, and I do a lot of analysis on compost, looking at that mass balance, we're finding it is there. But we're also needing to bring back, well, obviously that microbial population I talked about, but those micronutrients. We have to put back what we took out. So this nitrogen, phosphorus, but also the nutrient balance of the micronutrients is a big restoration component that we have to look at. And then landscape management. It's not just the restoration factor of what is happening now. How do we manage these over the long term? Well, most conditions in most cities, most contractors really have a dramatic lack of soils knowledge. Not complete, but a huge lack. We do use too much fertilizers, pesticides. We do irrigate all the time when we don't need to. We need to match our soils to the vegetation. We need to create, restore our soils to the vegetation we want, or match the vegetation to the soils we have. What we're learning, the plant types are critical. Soil permeability has to be restored. Pedologic function, that comes down to it. Biology and chemistry, nutrient management, critical to restoration. And we're finding that these balances, and it is truly a balance. And how we do that, those methods of application are critical. And then ultimately, and I think that comes to everybody in this room and a lot of people who are here at these meetings, how do we develop these soil and vegetation management needs so that we can achieve that balance in the urban environment? This is becoming a critical issue for sustainability and future environmental management. I don't know if there's a minute, but if we, I don't know if anybody would have any questions.
We have time for a question or two, depending on the length of the answer and the length of the question. So, anything.
Could you talk a little bit more about what you mean by Brucey amendments, not just compost?
Yeah. Essentially, what we found is, again, the microbial speciation for the type of plants that we want to grow. For instance, if we want a native plant community, we're going to want more of a VAM, mycorrhizal, fungal-dominated compost, which is going to be derived more from the type of vegetation community that that came from. A lot of woody material, leaf material, grass materials. You don't want a lot of foodstuffs. You don't want a lot of high nitrogen waste, a lot of stuff that will present and basically produce a gram-negative bacterial environment, which favors exotic and/or invasive species. So if we can push that, whereas other compost might be pushed towards vegetable gardens and or other types where we have more of a bacterial-oriented type compost. So we could start creating compost specific to the vegetative community we want.
You've talked several times about this microbial speciation. How are you testing
this? We're having the phospholipid fatty acid test done. The University of Missouri has a wonderful lab called the Soil Health Lab. It's actually in the engineering department, but at least it's run by soils people. And what we're seeing is that they can give us the broad general bacterial and fungal types that are present in the soil samples that we present. And they've done enough development work such that we can compare those to prairie environments, wooded environments, ag environments, and urban environments. So what we're looking at is how is our speciation under the PLFA test compared to other soil environments.